This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, October 10th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Senators mount tariff challenge. Bessent moves forward with Argentine aid. And Minnesota senator says export markets are disappearing. Now here's a programming note. Daybreak will not be published on Monday due to the federal holiday, Columbus Day. Senate Democrats say they'll keep forcing tariff votes as they lodge another challenge. A bipartisan group of senators is challenging President Donald Trump's emergency declaration underpinning his reciprocal tariffs on almost every U.S. trading partner. Senators can force votes on economic emergencies every 6 months. The last time they voted on the reciprocal tariffs was April when the measure failed in a 49-49 vote. There are other pending votes on U.S. tariffs applied to Canada and Brazil, which could come to the floor as soon as next week. The Canada vote would mark the second such attempt. We're going to keep challenging every 6 months on all these, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia said yesterday. Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden, who is leading the effort with Kaine, Senator Rand Paul and others said, he wants the Republicans on record defending the tariffs. What we're doing in a bipartisan way is saying, if you're serious about holding down costs, you have to go out and fix these horrible tariffs that are jacking up costs, Wyden said. I think we'll have a lot of interest on both sides of the aisle. Bessent presses ahead with Argentina assistance despite ag pushback. The U.S. is buying Argentinian currency to support that country's economy ahead of its forthcoming elections. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said in a post to X yesterday, his department finalized a swap line with Argentina's central bank worth $20 billion, allowing an exchange of currencies. The U.S. Treasury is prepared immediately to take whatever exceptional measures are warranted to provide stability to markets, Bessent wrote. Bessent spoke with his Argentinian counterpart about how the U.S. could support investment in the country. The Trump administration is resolute in our support for allies of the United States, he added. Take note, U.S. soybean producers and Democrats have criticized the administration giving financial support to Argentina, which is a prominent competitor in global agricultural markets. Senate Ag Democrat, U.S. exports at long-term risk. Senator Tina Smith, a Minnesota Democrat on the Senate Ag Committee, says she and farmers in her state are concerned the U.S. is losing export markets because of trade disruptions. If the supply seems to be unpredictable because of this on-again, off-again tariff situation, then our foreign markets will just shift to other suppliers. And so I'm quite concerned about that, Smith says on this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers. We know from past history that when we had the Trump tariff wars, trade wars, and the first administration, that we never regained all of those markets that we lost. And of course, we'd all remember well what happened when we had the wheat embargo back in the 80s. Take note, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said at a cabinet meeting yesterday that a trade assistance package for farmers won't happen until the government shutdown ends. Rollins calls the payments a bridge to get farmers from the Biden years to the new Trump era. This week's edition of Newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. NIOSH faces significant operational crisis, an industry hygienist group says. The National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, facing a significant operational crisis with approximately 62% of its tariffs still impacted by reductions in force, the American Industrial Hygiene Association said in court documents yesterday. In an amicus brief, Lawyers for AIHA said staff shortages at NIOSH have disrupted essential research, observation, and training programs, thereby comprising the health and safety of workers nationwide. They added that uncertainty about future staffing levels, quote, further threatens the agency's long-term effectiveness. What happened? Well, back in the spring, as many as 873 NIOSH employees received termination notices, and many were placed on administrative leave, according to an amended complaint filed by 20 state attorneys general last month. Some of these notices were subsequently rescinded, though the AG said at least 45% of them, and likely more, are still pending. Why it matters? Agriculture is one of the occupations studied by NIOSH researchers. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Edge says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. EPA pesticide regulators can improve efficiency. EPA's Office of Pesticide Programs needs a centralized database of past registration decisions and a more customer-friendly workforce, that according to a review announced by the agency yesterday. Those are just a couple of recommendations in the wide-ranging report. When screening pesticide applications, OPP staff, quote, often spend valuable time reassessing issues that were previously addressed in similar reviews. A centralized, searchable decision database, quote, could improve consistency, reduce duplication of effort, and speed up review timelines, the Senso Consulting report said. The report also says OPP, quote, should promote a culture in which staff actively support, inform, and engage with applicants, maintaining regulatory rigor while focusing on being responsive, transparent, and helpful. OPP, quote, has made meaningful strides in improving core operations, such as replacing its outdated internal systems with a modern internal tracking system, OPP said in releasing the report. But it added that the assessment, quote, identified challenges and barriers that continue to impact efficiency and predictability. Farm credit system debt issuance muted. The farm credit system has been issuing less debt, mostly in the form of bonds due in part to higher interest rates, the FCS reported yesterday. At its monthly meeting, FCS staff briefed the board on current conditions. From 2021 to 2023, the system's total debt issuance fell from $415 billion to $281 billion. The amount of debt issued was $299 billion in 2024 and has, quote, remained somewhat muted through August 31st for two reasons, FCS said in a news release. Interest rates were significantly higher than they were from 2021 through 2022, and fewer short-term securities were issued, specifically discount notes. Both elevated interest rates and a generally inverted yield curve continued to negatively affect the system's net interest spread as well as the market value of its investment portfolio, FCS said. An inverted yield curve signals that yields on longer duration financial instruments are lower than those with short maturities. Lower interest rates in the latter half of 2024 and during the current year resulted in what FCS called, quote, a marginal decline in its overall funding costs. Here's a correction. Yesterday's Daybreak incorrectly stated the size of U.S. tariff revenues. Treasury says the U.S. received $165 billion from October through August, up from $70 billion in the same period for the previous fiscal year. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, October 10th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.